Chapter 10, Midnight Parade.
Inquisitor, we've just received a priority message from the Adeptus Arbitus requesting access to Schola Sicana. The Arbiters claim that a noble house emergency beacon has activated within Sicana's bounds.
Hereticus would never be so lax. Did they provide a name?
Only the tag Silver Restricted. Considering the legal ramifications, I'm not surprised.
You will follow up with the Arbiters in person and have them turn off the beacon immediately. Do we have a cadaver?
Yes and no. A Sanctionite by the name of Silver was collected from the main plaza and brought to the Medicae. He's still breathing, but the data provided by Ordo Malleus suggests otherwise.
Master Centelles, who do we have to thank for this new grain of truth?
Commissar Belling.
The statue hadn't been made of plascrete after all. With a double layer of ceramite and a built-in energy drain, it was created for training purposes and meant to mimic the impervious outer shell of an Imperial Guard Hellblade tank. The Midnight Parade wended its way west through Sicana's sector, crossing the Scola's main plaza in a loose column more than 60 strong. Funnel Gault led the way with Lexi on his arm. She acted more like a chaperone than a recruiter, keeping an eye on Funnel Gault until his call-up finally occurred. How was he going to wander off? I'd seen ministerial parades back on Fulcrum IV as they marched through Sector 00, drawing together both halves of our society. A spirit of unity was important within the unrelenting walls of a hive city, but armed security was always a suitable backup when meager attempts at distraction failed. The Balagem courtyard demonstration had been far from meager, and for that alone, it was counted as a glorious success. Gault was certain that the statue would be replaced within the week. Training had to continue, or the psychers might become restless and up to no good. A parade at midnight was the first hint of that, and our destination sealed the deal. Over tens of thousands of years, the cities of Terra had grown up and down, forming a thick, unending urban crust. Cities became sectors stacked one upon another, hundreds deep, and each vied for resources, sunlight, and room for its citizens to move and breathe. Humanity was partitioned into buckets of resources within ceilings and walls. Controlled access points defined the beginning and end of every dimension. Heavily restricted service elevators pierced the stacks vertically, while permanent barriers and trams controlled travel horizontally across the planet's hivescape. Schola Sicana was as much a prison as a city within a city with extra layers of security and limited access points. A self-sufficient mix of courses and distractions further helped keep the residents in place. Even the rare chimneys of sunlight were guarded, lest a psyker with sufficient telekinetic powers found a way to fly up to a skybridge in an overshadowing sector. They called it Satellite. The platform was a miracle in my eyes, but it made perfect sense if you thought about it. As Sicana morphed into being, service lifts were reorganized, repurposed, or shut down. One such service shaft began in a trench on the south side of the campus core, reaching all the way up to the sector's ceiling, 400 feet above. The elevator car had been removed, and the shaft was capped off at the top, but the plasteel maintenance ladders, backup lighting, and ventilation remained. A dozen telekines brought up the rear to catch any careless climbers as the race began. A rebellious roar filled the enclosed column as Clan Balagem vented its daily frustrations and pounded out its fears all the way to the top of the reclaimed passage. We emerged onto a broad service platform that could easily hold hundreds. The first to arrive brought Satellite to life, filling the sizable rectangular structure with mesmerizing music and pulsing multicolored lights. Ringed by polysteel railings, the rugged platform offered an epic view of the sector that extended for miles in every direction below. One could easily discern the Temple of the Ecclesiarchy and the well-lit entrance to the sector's tramway in the distance to the north. Gault studied my reaction.
Silver, what do you think?
This is amazing. How did you find this place?
Like you, I just followed the parade when I joined House Balagem.
He pointed to the hundreds of names and glyphs scrawled on the rails, ceiling, and floor.
Most don't get a chance to make their mark on the world before they are shipped off, never to be heard from again.
Lexi grabbed Gault's arm, planting a kiss on his cheek and pulling him away.
Funnel, give Silver a chance to enjoy the view before you go jumping off with your melancholy thoughts.
I walked the perimeter and scanned the adjacent service shaft. The climb up to Satellite had been a rush, but I was certain the way back down would leave me feeling as empty as Galt. Behind me, several Sanctionites waited to get my attention, and I realized I was being foolish. It wasn't about the temporary escape from the Scola below, but rather the hearts and minds of those that flooded up here to celebrate a new clan member. I turned to the small group. "I'm Silver, but my friends call me Peric." Everyone seemed to keep their distance. One of the older first years answered,
"You have friends?"
He was one of the biomancers that had filled my cup with lightning earlier that evening. They all were. "No, I'm still working on that. I've only been here 2 weeks. How about you?"
3 months. My name is Vidal, and that's Notch, Rasa, Tempe, and Skull."
Each shook my hand. Vidal was close in age to Tempe and Rasa. Each was 17, maybe 18, while Notch and Skull were a year or two younger. "You and your mate showed great control earlier. Does Sykana teach you that?"
"Sykana only covers half of it. The rest is up to us."
"Doesn't Galt teach you?"
"When he's not distracted by Lexi or playing with the pyros."
By his tone, I figured the real answer to that was a flat-out no. "Feth, but if I had Lexi to play with, I wouldn't be trying to give Horatio Balajam a tan." Knowing it couldn't have been the Sanctionite's original given name, I turned to the last in line. "Why the name Skull?" Skull was a stocky young man with a pale complexion and carbon black hair. He stepped back from the group and closed his eyes. His head began to glow, becoming brighter and brighter, until one could only see the outline of his skull and the sockets of his eyes in a macabre display. The two young women, Rasa and Tempe, frowned and stepped farther away, while Notch took a moment to slap the glowing teen upside the head. A small spark jumped from Skull to Notch's hand as he did it, but neither seemed bothered by the other.
"Skeller, you're not turning anyone on with that trick,"
said Notch.
"It'll only attract the wrong attention."
"Whose attention?"
"Warp fiends, witches, and eventually orcs out on the front lines of the latest crusade. Everyone knows they're attracted to shiny objects."
"I don't know anything about orcs, but I'm guessing we're safe enough from them here. What do you know about warp fiends and witches?"
"Ask Rasa. She knows better than anyone,"
Tempe responded first, cuffing the young man in a less than friendly manner.
"You really don't know how to keep your mouth shut, do you, Notch?"
Skull grinned and shook his head. He seemed to be the silent type, as did Rasa, but at least she didn't begin to glow. Instead, she seemed to shrink inward until Tempe stepped forward, blocking my view. Tempe was solid, tough, a true child of Sub-Zero, the subterranean levels of any hive. It was evident that she'd fought for her space long before the Astra Telepathica had tracked her down and made her do it all over again on Terra. Her short jet-black hair and blue eyes hinted at the prize for anyone that crossed her. She bossed around Notch and Skull like two rowdy younger brothers, but seemed to defer to Vidal without annoyance. None of it explained the protective barrier that she formed around Rasa.
"What?"
Tempe placed a hand on her hip.
"You like what you're seeing?"
"Sure, but I've had better." I winked at Notch and Skull and enjoyed the look of warning on Vidal's face. Tempe scoffed.
"When?"
"Let's just say that it's been a while and leave it at that. How about you?"
"There's nothing like the looming threat of the front lines to keep me in the game."
She glanced at Vidal for his benefit and mine. Fading further into the background, Rasa wasn't enjoying the satellite's festive mood or its grand views. She seemed to detest the place. I kept my eyes focused on Tempe. Who did it?
"Did what?"
"Hurt her. We'd only just met, but I was used to dancing around the old wounds and the many phantoms that adorned the faces of everyone at Sykana. Feth, I was used to dancing around my own." Rasa's affliction was fresh enough, and everyone could see that the young woman was shattered.
"It won't happen again,"
said Vidal.
"House rules demand that we stick together in groups of three or more."
"That's a great idea, but it's not what I asked. Who did it?"
"It was Mateen. He was my scouting partner in Balajam, but he wasn't himself."
Rasa hadn't wilted as far as I'd thought. "Where is he?"
"He was halfway through his first year, so they denied his promotion and shipped him off to the guard,"
said Vidal.
"He's not coming back."
"What do you mean?"
"If you reach your second year in good standing, you'll be promoted to neonate, assigned a mentor, and trained for your next role. Mateen went straight into an irregular guard unit, a bucket for troubled and untrained psychers. They'll be fodder on whatever front takes them. His only other option was to meet the Emperor."
Thousands of unfit psychers were sacrificed to the Emperor every year to bolster his power and guarantee his immortality. Those chosen for the honor were usually too powerful or too unstable to justify their continued existence. The fodder route might not have been any better, but it was the choice of a survivor, and I figured anyone in Clan Balagem would have opted for the same. Rasa, what did you mean when you said he wasn't himself?
Mateen was strong, protective. He liked to patrol during downtime and keep the psychopaths in their place. One night, he changed.
Rasa didn't say more, but her eyes shared a terror that wouldn't fade. Do you think he was possessed?
There are always rumors of witches hunting our paths. They don't wear collars, so the security forces can't track them down.
Rumors of witches could end a world as easily as one unsuspecting psyker's life, but I had other ideas. To Locadio Rink, the men were pawns, the women targets, and everyone ended as victims of his curses while he remained free and clear of any blame. The music around seemed to grow louder as the faces waited expectantly for my reply. Rasa, you're upper hive, aren't you? The daughter of an officer in the PDF or Medic K?
Adeptus Arbitus,
she replied, avoiding Tempe's frown.
It was a family tradition. I was in the academy when I was arrested and taken away. How about you?
Justice and order ran in her blood. I was surprised she hadn't taken a dive off the upper deck when nobody was looking. PDF, but I almost dated an arbiter once. She traded me her hellgun for a kiss. I don't know why I said it, but it had the right effect. Everyone laughed, even Rasa and Tempe, and Skull flickered as he guffawed. It was one of those moments that you never forget. Before it was over, the screaming began. On the far side of the platform, a section of the railing was missing, and a fight had broken out. It was clearly a one-sided affair, as Funnel Galt started chucking clan members off the platform's edge. As we watched, a dozen Sanctionites hemmed in the second year, daring Galt to make another move. Lexi Silk grabbed my arm and dragged me toward the fray.
Hurry! Galt loses it when someone catches my eye.
What? Me? I said. She smiled as if I'd admitted my undying love.
He won't be here for that much longer. You got any plans for later?
There were spiders, there were webs, and then there were boots made for stomping them both to smithereens. I was the fly caught in the web as the boot descended. Feth! Galt roared and pointed.
Silver, it's time you learn to fly.
Double Feth. I'd been trained in the halls of the PDF, learning both armed and unarmed combat. I'd aced my exams before being tossed out on a Medic K warrant of psychosis. Warp possession will ruin anyone standing when it comes to using live ammunition. I ignored Lexi's tempting smile and walked away, letting a spark of anger rise within me. Galt, I'm on my way. I moved in slowly, hoping to draw him away from the platform's open edge, but he simply dodged into the crowd, hooking a Sanctionite. The pyro lit Galt up with a burst of flame as he heaved her over the side and down into the night below. With his attention elsewhere, I looped my arms around his shoulders and neck and spun him onto the deck not far from the edge. His shield flared, searing me with its heat, but once he'd turned his back on me, he was done. My shield absorbed his fiery outburst. Clamping my hand around the back of his neck, I interrupted his flow of energy, and in an instant, he dropped. The funnel was out cold. Galt's pack of pyros tried to prop him up with their power, but I stole that too and shunted it away until they finally accepted that the party was over and nap time had begun. It was Lexi's turn to scream.
What did you do to him?
Her aura flashed an unspeakable number of colors, but none of them were red. Leaving Funnel Galt as an offering, I backed away from the advancing crowd. He was their hero and a bastard to boot. I'd begun the day feeling lost and confused and found myself missing the good times.
Silva,
Tempe pointed to my left. Rasa stood at the platform's edge, looking back at me. Tears ran down her face. I held out my hand to the young woman, but she didn't move in my direction. Instead, she inched toward the edge, holding out her hand in an invitation to join her. The clan's night out had gone from promising to insane. It hurt to see the broken look on Rasa's face. As the heel of her boot found the platform's end, I rushed forward and grabbed her hand, pulling her away. Her weight was barely half of mine, allowing me to trade places with the woman. As I tumbled beyond the boundaries of Balagem's hideaway, the ruse became as clear as the look of surprise and shame that sprouted on her face. Feth. There are several ways to get a woman to notice you, but none are better than taking a dive from 400 feet up. The night had been warm up until that point. Maybe they were expecting someone smaller, but the telekine station below did their best to arrest my momentum while I did my best to hit the deck with my feet pointing downward. It was close, but the ground sneaks up on you. With the wind knocked out of me, I couldn't speak. I didn't want to insult my saviors by playing dead, so I clawed my way onto hands and knees and coughed until my lungs started working again.
"I'll give him a 7.5,
said a voice from the shadows.
"That's fair. He screamed all the way down and nearly stuck the landing. Let's get ready for more."
The second guy helped me get up and out of the way. "Nice catch. I'm Silver."
"I'm Bamboo, and that's Gravy. We're on duty whenever anyone goes topside. Clan rules."
My head was still spinning, trying to grasp that I was alive and that I'd been played in every way possible up there. Bamboo seemed to notice.
"You didn't know, did you?"
"Know what?"
"That we were down here."
I shook my head as more screams began to fill the night above us. One by one, Clan Balagem took the express route down. Most landed far better than I, and Funnel Galt floated down with utmost care. I'd had enough and was about to head home when Lexi stepped in front of me. Rasa was nowhere to be found, and at that moment, I was utterly terrified of both women.
"You okay, Silver?"
said Lexi. I'd made a complete fool out of myself, but no permanent harm had been done. I wasn't sure if things had turned out as Galt and company had planned, but they could decide that for themselves. "It was the highlight of my night," I said, avoiding her eyes and trying not to throw up on her shoes. "Tell Galt I'm sorry for the hangover he's bound to feel in the morning." Having reserved a neutral dorm for these sorts of awkward moments, I didn't wait around for the parade back to Balagem Hall. Either Sykana was crazy or I was. Either way, the result was the same. And no, my night didn't improve.